I want to start out with a scripture from 2 Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 2. I've preached on this topic before, but the Lord triggers things in me, and he shows me things, and he reveals to me areas that sometimes we need to focus on. So the title of this message is The Real Jesus, The Real Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul the Apostle, speaking to the Corinthian church, says, "I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." So he said, it's possible for you to, receive a different Jesus, spirit, and gospel. I know that there are many people that use the name of Jesus today, many people who claim to be followers of Jesus. But the question we really need to ask is, who is your Jesus? What is your Jesus like? I don't know about you, but I want to follow the Jesus of the Bible. Amen? I want to follow the real Jesus. Paul felt a personal responsibility for the welfare of the church. And his desire is that in the coming day of the Lord, when the Lord would return, that he would be able to present that church as a pure bride. Amen? And he wanted to also expose the corrupt teachings of the false teachers of that day, which were prevalent all around them. And I don't know about you, but I've been off course a few times in my life. Not intentionally, but in my zeal and my pursuit of learning and discovering what is true or what is authentic. I've dipped into some pools that I don't think I should have. And I've listened to some teachers that I shouldn't have. I've been influenced by people who, even in themselves, they might have been well-meaning, but they could have been deceived themselves and not realizing it. And I think we're all wanting the same thing here, and that is all we want to pursue is to know the truth. What is true? What is authentic? What is real? We want to know the real Jesus. How many here want to know the real Jesus? Amen? So he was afraid or concerned that these saints would be led astray by these false teachers. And even from the simplicity, said that is in Christ, the simplicity of what? Faith in Christ alone. He wanted them to be devoted to Jesus. And he didn't want them to be drawn away by even those that sometimes are very crafty. They're very good at communicating. They're very good at persuading people. They're very good at, moving even people's emotions, stirring up the emotions of people to do what maybe they want to do, not necessarily what God wants for them to do. So we have to be careful that we don't try to be anybody's God and try to control people, but we need to point them to Jesus. Amen. A true ambassador is one that represents the one who sent them. Amen. So we're representing the interests of our Father, not our own interests. We're not here to build our own kingdoms. What we want to build the kingdom of God. So Paul was reminding them of how easily, even Eve was deceived by that serpent. What did the devil do? The devil appealed to their mind, to their intellect. He worked on their pride. And he got them puffed up into thinking that somehow they didn't need to any longer submit to God's authority, that they could be an authority unto themselves. You understand? The enemy tries to do that with you and I. He tries to get us to believe that somehow we can be our own authority and we don't need to submit to God's authority. That somehow, even though you've got a better idea than what God did, he questioned, didn't he, the commandment of God in the garden. Yea, hath God said. Did God really mean what he said? And if we're not careful, we can fall into that trap. And so he was exposing really three things. One was faith in Christ that was mixed with philosophy or human wisdom. Philo is love and Sophi is wisdom, the love of wisdom. But this is not talking about God's wisdom. It's talking about the wisdom of men. mixing with their Christianity. Also, faith in Christ plus the observance of the law of Moses, the mixture of grace and law. Faith in Christ mixed with the mind sciences, such as psychiatry or psychology. We have to be very careful, all right? And some people don't think that the Word of God is enough, that I got to go and I got to listen to secular humanists, amen, and people that are you know, that are only wise in their own understanding. I mean, I know that God's Word has everything that we need, amen, for living a life, amen, a godly life. God has given to us even His Spirit so that everything that we have need of is freely given to us in Christ Jesus. All that pertains to life and godliness is freely available to us in Christ. Amen. We don't need Jesus and psychiatry. Come on, somebody. We just need what God has to say. I think the manufacturer knows the product. Amen. It's like the product trying to help the product out independent of the manufacturer. And sometimes we do that. We run here and we run there. We seek counsel here and seek counsel there. Let's seek the counsel of God. And if you're going to seek the counsel from a man or a woman, seek somebody that knows how to hear from God. Amen. That knows the Word of God, knows what God has to say about it. And let's let the Word of God be our guide in everything that we do. You didn't want them receiving a different Jesus. And they were becoming really open and if you will, the word today is tolerant. Of all the worldviews. Well, he said, you just may well put up with it. I'm concerned that you might, he's chiding them for their gullibility, really, and their lack of discernment. Come on, how many know that if we're not careful, we don't stay close to God, we ourselves can be deceived. You can't know truth except by the Spirit of truth. You got to be close to Jesus, and compromise will open the door, amen, to blindness and a lack of discernment, so that even the things that once you may blush about no longer bother you, because the enemy's already successfully dropped the blinders down on you because you gave him opportunity by compromising with him, by agreeing with and listening to the wrong voice. Because there's only one true Jesus, Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Remember Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father, what? Except through me. He didn't say, I'm one of many ways. I am the only way to the Father. And, you know, we can't. We're either going to accept the true worship of Jesus, of the true Jesus, or we're going to worship an idol. Our false Jesus, or a Jesus that we may create even in our own imagination. I mean, know that the Jesus that we may create in our own imagination is not a Jesus that can save you, or that can keep you even. And so sometimes people don't want to accept the real Jesus, or they don't approve or agree with the counsel of God in their heart when they hear and they see what Jesus actually did and taught. And some may say, well, I don't know if I really agree with that. So what I'll do is I'll adjust that word to fit my lifestyle. So now my Jesus does what I like to do. My Jesus thinks the way I do. How many know that is a false Jesus? That is actually the spirit of Antichrist. Anti, or in place of Jesus Christ. So the grace we give ourselves is a grace that cannot save. Don't be deceived by that. There are many people that think they can just give themselves grace. And people want to tell you how wonderful you are. You have to first realize that you're not wonderful, and that's why you need Jesus. And sanctification is a process, by the way. God is at work in our hearts and our lives. Amen? None of us here are finished. Jesus finished. Amen, the work. But we're not finished. We are a work in progress. God is at work in our hearts. Amen. He's preparing us. What is He doing? He's moving us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We're being changed. There's a connection between loving Jesus. How many here say you love Jesus? You love Jesus? You really love Jesus? I believe you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, then Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You'll listen to me. Amen? So, we have to be careful then that we don't create in our imagination a Jesus that accepts whatever we think or say is right. Well, brother, that might be all right for you, but for me, truth is this. How many know that truth is not what you and I define it is? It's what God says it is. His word does not change. Jesus called those who would not submit to him enemies. Did you know that? Look at Luke 19, verse 12. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, sum of money, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, the certain nobleman is who? It's Jesus. Who are the 10 servants? It's his followers, his disciples, right? And the citizens represent the Jewish nation. Amen? Who rejected Christ at his first appearance. But God's turning that around, isn't he? He's given you and I, the non-Jewish peoples, an opportunity, amen, to come to Christ. God has not rejected his people, amen? They rejected him. But God is a promise keeper. And he's going to keep his promise, amen, to his ancient people Israel as well. And so the certain nobleman is the Lord. The 10 servants are his followers. And what did they say? They said, we're not going to allow this man to reign over us. This is the attitude. If we love Jesus, then we do what? We submit to him. We obey his voice. So he went on to say, in verse 27, but bring here those enemies of mine. Who are the enemies? The enemies that said we're not going to allow him to be Lord over our lives. In other words, we can claim him as Lord, but the real question is he Lord? You know, you can sing the songs, Jesus is my Lord, but is he really Lord, or are you Lord of your own life? Do I come first? Do my priorities, do my passions, my desires come first before God? That is not submission. That is rebellion. Guys, listen. He said, bring those enemies. Who are the enemies? The ones that said, I won't allow him to rule over me. Who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. This is the real Jesus speaking here. And the world is offering us this plethora of choices. But there's only one way. Don't listen to these demons of liberalism either today. They're so prevalent. Oh, they accuse you of being narrow-minded and bigoted. You know, intolerant is the word again, right? And because you don't see the way we do. And it's not okay that you just disagree with them. They want you to agree with them, these demons do. These people do not realize that they're captured by the enemy. They're under his spell. Amen. And they can't see because they're blind. So we want to pray for them. Amen. And reach out to them. Amen. With the gospel, that their eyes may be opened. We want to point them to the only hope that they have, and that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we don't want to kick them to the curb because they think differently. Then how many here have thought the wrong way once or twice in your life? Amen. Okay. We all have. But there is a way of freedom. How many know that Jesus loves people? But Jesus is intolerant of sin. How many know that? So he's the only one that's going to be able to save us. Now, the way of freedom from sin, amen, and from the consequences is we know through Jesus Christ, but through repentance, turning to Jesus Christ, amen. Not to the Jesus of my own fashioning, but the true Jesus of the Bible. Amen. His word is my guide. What God says is, amen, what I believe, what I accept, and what I live. I submit to the word of God. You can't say you're submitting to Jesus and not submitting to his word. In Acts 17:29, you all know this very well. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Now remember, this is when they had come to this one place in Athens and Mars Hill, and they had this inscription to the unknown God. And he said, we're going to explain to you who this unknown God is. And so in verse 30, they said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked. In other words, in the past. But now, everybody say now.
Now.
God commands what? He commands all men everywhere to repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by what? Raising him from the dead. So the question is, have I received the true Jesus? What Jesus, what spirit, what doctrine or what gospel have I received? Is Jesus, the true Jesus of the Bible, truly the Lord of my life? In other words, does he have ownership of me? Do I really belong to him? What did he come to do? Jesus came to liberate us, to set us free. Amen? He came to set us free from the power of sin and from the consequences of sin, but he never came in any way, shape, or form to somehow condone it. It was those very sins that placed Jesus on the cross. So the false Jesus says this. Now, I'm going to get politically incorrect now. Is that okay? As long as I'm biblically correct, right? Because the enemy wants to bully you, amen, and tell you what to think and what you can say. But God has given us the freedom of expression, amen? And we are to express the truth in love. The false Jesus says it's okay for a man to lay with another man. There are even churches ordaining this, you know, today and approving this type of teaching. But the true Jesus says, even how many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. How many know the Old Testament is written by the same Spirit of the Lord? Amen. You shall not lie, Leviticus 18:22, with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. What is an abomination? It's morally disgusting. It's detestable to God. That's what God says about it. He doesn't celebrate it. He hates it. That's the true Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Here we are in the New Testament. Paul speaking to the Corinthians again. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. See, the false Jesus tells people that they can engage in sex outside of marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable. This is what the true Jesus says among all. And the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Remember, the enemy of God says, I will not have this man to rule over me. I'll be Lord of my own life. The false Jesus says it's okay to bend or break the laws governing the land. But the true Jesus says in Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. The false Jesus says, as Annie was just talking about, there's nothing wrong with an occasional visit to the psychic. Palm reader, fortune teller, there's nothing wrong with Wicca, Harry Potter, Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons, occult video games. As long as you treat it as a form of entertainment. Why would we entertain ourselves with something that God says? It's also an abomination. It's utterly disgusting to God. Detestable. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain or flee from every form of evil. That word form means view, appearance, shape, or sight of evil. View, appearance, shape, or sight of evil. Abstain or flee from what? Every form, view, appearance, shape, or sight of evil. I think that's pretty clear, don't you? When we walk in fellowship with the true Jesus, we will agree that his word is good, that the truth is good, that it's holy. It's pure. It's delightful. That the Word of God is nourishment to our soul. Ephesians 4:22, he's speaking to the church of Ephesus here. He says, put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. Don't entertain that stuff anymore. Don't play around with fire. Amen? Especially, amen, unless it's the fire of God. Amen? That's okay. That's good fire. Which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, he's saying, no longer listen to your flesh, your sin nature. Obey the Spirit of the Lord now. Because you're children of light. And if, as children of light, we are to walk in the light. Because He is in the light. And walking in the light really means coming into the light of Christ, which is the truth. 1 John 1:5 says this, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Come on, somebody. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, true fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to live in the light, to walk in the Spirit, to be at peace with God? Amen. Not to live a compromised life. To have a conscience that's been cleared of guilt, amen, sprinkled by the blood of Christ, and no longer living in this, you know, this guilt consciousness. If we are willing to submit to God and allow the true Jesus to rule over us, then we're in position to receive His mercy and grace. You understand? Guys, in order for us to receive the mercy and grace of God, we must get in position to receive that. God calls us to position ourselves, that is to change our minds, to change our hearts, to repent of our sins. Oh, which ones? All of your sins. Turn away from your selfish ambitions, your ways, amen, and begin to follow after Jesus Christ and let His Word be your authority, amen. Your rule of conduct, of faith. So God wants us to repent. That's the message. He's appointed a day in which He shall judge the world by that man He has ordained. He's given us assurance of this. By what? Raising Him from the dead. So God is saying this is the message. That people need to repent, guys. We can't tell people that they're all wonderful and they're all this and they're all that when they're not. And sometimes people are thinking they're okay when they're not. There's sometimes people are giving the solution before they even know they had the problem. And the Spirit of God wants to work even through you and I, amen, to be faithful. To speak what He's speaking, to do what He's doing, and to represent Him authentically, the real Jesus, the true Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus that I want, because I don't like that one that I see in the Bible. No, I know nobody would deliberately do that, but that's what we do sometimes. We read and say, oh God, I don't know if I really want to agree with that. How many have ever disagreed with the Word of God before? Well, there was a time in my life when I did. Anymore, I don't want to do that. I know God is smarter than me. His way is always right. His way works. So it's only the love and mercy of the true Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, that can save me. And the false Jesus is really the spirit of Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. We will not have this man to rule over us. We will not allow God's word to be our authority. We will create our own Jesus, and we will twist the word to fit our own lifestyle and try to justify what we do, where God has clearly told us in His word what He accepts and what He doesn't accept. And it's the law that brings us to Christ. It's the law that convicts us and makes us aware that we're sinful. And if I've done these things, then I need to come to Jesus and repent of those things, confess them, and Jesus is faithful and just to forgive me. Amen? And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I don't have to live in that anymore. I don't have to live in the past, praise God, but I do need to be repentant towards God. But it says, for this reason, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. In verse 11, God's going to send them a strong delusion. You see, if people think that they can, with impunity, continue to resist and rebel against God's word. I remember reading somewhere in the days of Noah. God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. God gave opportunity for people to repent. He gave them a space of time to repent, but they refused and they rejected the word of God, which was the mercy of God, for them to come, amen, aboard the ark, which is a type of Christ, and be saved from the wrath of God, amen. There needed to be a change of mind, a repentant heart towards God, amen, to believe the word of the Lord as he spoke even through his servant Noah. And Jesus mentioned Noah, by the way, did he not? He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will also be in the coming of the Son of Man. The same types of things are going on right now in our world. Do you see it? Whole-scale rebellion against authority. But that word unrighteousness means they had pleasure in unrighteousness. That verse 12, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's adika, and it means acts of injustice or moral wrongfulness, iniquity. Now, hear me. Jesus said very clearly, a tree is known by its fruit, right? So, one thing that we can't see is we can't see if a person's been chosen or not. But we can see if they are sanctified. You can see the evidence of who one truly is, if you've had enough time with them, that is. Amen? Because eventually what's inside does come out, doesn't it? And so those who claim to be chosen of God, but lack evidence of sanctification, that means a separation from the world, unto God, they're on shaky ground. For every tree is known by its fruit. God says, I'm not here to patch you up. I'm here to transform you into a new creation. But you're not going to be receiving the mercy and the grace of God until you first come to a place of true repentance in your heart. This is the thing people are saying, oh, you just say this prayer after me and you're finished. You say that prayer, if your heart is broken before God and you're contrite, amen, and you realize you're a sinner, you're condemned, amen, to die a devil's hell, amen, and yet God in his mercy gave his son on my behalf that I could receive his mercy, his forgiveness, amen, and be made right with him. And if I have a heart that says, God, I'm now willing to submit myself to your authority. I am now willing to allow you to be Lord over my life. Now you're in the position to receive the favor and the blessing of God in your life. Thank you, Jesus. And when you know that God wants to bless you, God wants to bless us more than we want to be blessed. But he will not bless a mess. He will not bless rebellion. God wants his people to turn to him and obey him and submit themselves to God. You see, people are trying to beat back the devil, but they're not submitted to God. And that devil beats them down. Submit to God, then resist the devil. He'll flee from you. And so right this time, you guys are familiar with this. But this spirit of Antichrist has captured multitudes of people. And multitudes of people are brought under his influence. And the only way to be free from that spirit is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and not give any place for the enemy. Completely repent, turn away from your sins. And turning to Christ means you're willing to do that. Because repentance cancels the legal right for Satan to have control over your life. He no longer has a legal authority there, does he? Why do you think he wants to entice us into sin even as believers? The same thing he did with Adam and Eve. He got them to listen to him because he could usurp their authority and use it even against them. You get it? Why does he want to entice us to sin or to listen to him? Because he knows that now he has something that he can use against us before the court of heaven. The good news is this. We have an advocate with the Father. Amen? But God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. Amen? And so God is saying, be wise. Arise from the dead. Amen? Christ will give you light. Turn to him fully. Amen? Quit playing with fire. Because there are consequences for what you do. What I do. But God has given us his Son as an offering to pay our debt. And now he is at the right hand of the Father on high. Amen. As our great high priest, our intercessor, and the one that we can call upon, the advocate, and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Lord, please blot out my transgressions. Purge my iniquities. Make me clean, Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. I come to you. And God is merciful. He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, guys, this gets twisted sometimes. That people somehow take this scripture out of context and they say, well, see here, Paul was the chief of sinners. And I've heard people use that and twist that to justify their own sinful lifestyle. How many know he wasn't saying that that's who I am now? He was saying that that's who I was. As a matter of fact, he thought he was serving God, didn't he? He thought he was doing good things for God when he was actually in rebellion to God. So just because a person has zeal and enthusiasm about something that they believe is right doesn't necessarily mean it's right. There's people that will strap explosives to themselves and blow themselves up for something they think is right. Yep. Paul was a terrorist. He was very zealous at one time, wasn't he? Persecuting the church and kicking against the pricks, as the Lord said, you know. He was resisting the Spirit of God when he actually thought he was doing the right thing. But he says, but Jesus came to save. Hallelujah. He says, I'm chief of sinners. So he said, if God could do what he did in my life, he can do the same in your life. He can change things. He can turn you around. He can transform you, make you into a new creation. He'll give you a new heart, new desires. Amen. All of a sudden, you want to love God. You want to serve God. You want to worship God. You want to follow God. Hallelujah. See, the true Jesus is holy. The true Jesus is righteous. The true Jesus is intolerant of sin and injustice. The true Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. The true Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only intermediator, amen, and salvation. Not the saints, not Mary, no other intermediator, no other way. He is the way, the truth, the life, the only way to the Father. The true Jesus is our great high priest. He's our intercessor. And the true Jesus is returning in clouds of glory. Amen. Hallelujah. To reign over all the earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. And the true Jesus is going to righteously judge the world. Amen. He's going to sit as judge. Amen. Hallelujah. So today is the opportunity to get it right. Amen. To come to him. Amen. And to confess and to forsake those things that God says no to and say, Lord, I want you to rule over me. Rule over me, Jesus. I want you to be Lord. And the true Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate between those who are truly his and from those who only profess to be his. You see, the wheat and the tares, Jesus also spoke of, didn't he? You know what I'm talking about. The wheat and the tares. A tare can look a lot like a stalk of wheat, you know? But they don't bear the fruit. Amen? Not only that, if you've ever seen a stalk of wheat when it's in the full grain, it bows its head. It's humble. The tares are like this. Arrogant. Obstinate. Rebellious. Oh, they may be hanging out in church and with God's people and speaking Christian things. But a tree is known by its fruit. I've seen some people play the game quite well. They've learned enough Christianese to really make you think they're one. But then you're looking at their life and you're saying, no, that is not Christ. I'm not talking about making an occasional mistake. I'm talking about a person whose lifestyle is sinful. They don't know the Lord. John says they're liars to profess to know God and then live that way. So, God calls us to Himself so He can clean us up, give us a new heart, a new beginning, a fresh start. Praise God. Don't have to live out of regret over the past. Thank God. And my past is under the blood. Sometimes the enemy tries to use it against me to discourage me. I just thank You, Jesus, for what You have done. I believe Your word is true. I believe You've canceled that assignment. Amen. And Hebrews 3:7 says this. I'm almost finished. Are you ready? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, everybody say today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't say, well, not right now. One of these days. Don't rebel against what you've heard. As in the days of trial in the wilderness. Hebrews 12:25 says, see that you do not refuse Him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused Him who spoke on earth, that was Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from Him who speaks from heaven. Who is that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7:24, but He, Jesus, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. Hallelujah. Has the Lord been dealing with you this morning about anything that you've heard? Has the Spirit of God put some light on something in your heart, in your life? Maybe areas of compromise. Maybe even a false Jesus of your own choosing. Because maybe you didn't agree with the Jesus of the Bible. But I'm telling you here today that you cannot be saved by any other Jesus or Spirit or Gospel. Amen? Except the Gospel. And this Gospel calls us to repentance and the faith in Christ alone. Not faith in self, but faith in Christ alone. If I have faith in Jesus, then I'm done with my ways. I'm done with erecting in a Jesus of my own fashioning. God is calling His people to repent of idolatry as well. No other gods before Him. That's what Paul was so grievous about. He was grieved because the Corinthians were listening to these other voices, these other false teachers. And they were pulling them away from the simplicity which was in Christ. There is no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life except through Jesus Christ. God calls every one of us to submit ourselves to Him. To allow Him to rule over us. When you're under His authority, you are protected. When you are under His authority, sin cannot dominate you. When you're under His authority, you have authentic authority. When you're under God's authority, then you can command demons and they will obey you. When you're under God's authority, amen, then you have self-control. When you're under God's authority, God's word, you have righteousness and peace and joy. In the Holy Spirit. Joy is the result, amen, of peace dancing in your heart because you're at peace with God. Would you take a moment right now, if there's anything that God has pointed out, to repent of it right now. Talk to the Lord about it and leave it here, right here and now. Don't walk out this door, amen, without getting things right between you and your Maker. For God has given you and I an opportunity right now in this season of His grace to repent and to believe the truth. And Jesus Christ is the way. Would you turn to Him and call on Him and ask Him to forgive you for your rebellion? You know, take your time. If you need to forgive others, then you need to do it now. You need to make reconciliation now. You need to release that one that offended you now. You need to obey and submit, not to your feelings, but to the Word of God. And God says, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And if you don't forgive others, you're giving permission for the tormentors to torment your life. So why don't you deal with that right now? And those people that have hurt you, no, it wasn't right what they did. But it wasn't right what we did to Jesus either, when He hung on that cross for us. And now He's saying, I've shown you this mercy. I'm willing to forgive you and let you go free. Now I want you to release others. So do it right now. Speak to that person in your heart and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I release you. I choose to forgive you this day. If you need to go to that one in person, do so. Make reconciliation wherever possible. As you release others, you will be released from the prison. And you can walk in freedom and joy in the Holy Spirit. What about relationships? Is your relationship ordained of God? Is it something God approves of? Or is it something that you just want? Are we willing to submit to God in the area of relationships? So, Lord, the people that you want me to be with, or the one you want me to be with, that's who I choose. I will not put my will before your will. I submit it to your will. And I'm willing to trust you. How many know that God can make life beautiful for you if you're willing to wait on Him and trust Him? Don't be in a hurry, amen, to get involved in relationships. Wait on the Lord's timing. God can make things beautiful. God knows what's best for us. Trust Him. If you really trust the Lord, then you'll submit to Him. You'll obey His word. If you really love Jesus, then you walk in love. Hallelujah. God bless you and keep you all.